Lesson 5.
We're going to talk about this tonight. God creates Adam and Eve. Someone grab your Bible. We'll go to Genesis. And as you're going to Genesis, somebody also grab Isaiah 45:18. The verse that I'm going to need someone to read in Genesis is Genesis 26 when we get to it. When you look at creation and you look at what God created in the first few verses that we read, what stands out to you about His creation?
He loved it.
He loved it. He liked it, right? Remember, there's a progression in the creation, too. So I'm trying to lead you down why, what He did. He first created light. We saw without light, He couldn't have what?
Plants.
Plants, right? Plants had to grow. Plants had to have light. So He created these things. He was a God of order. He had order, right? He did all this, right? So before He gets to what we're going to talk about tonight, where God creates Adam, and he knew this. What does that tell you about God? Not that He's just the God of order, but what does that tell you about God then? Is there any characteristics that in the creation that because He knew and He had a plan for everything and He put it in order, and because He's that master designer, that there's some characteristics that God, it tells you about Him? It's powerful. Okay, well, just keep that thought in mind. Someone read Isaiah 45:18.
For this is what the Lord says: God is the creator of the heavens. He formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is no other.
Okay. He formed it for what? To be what?
Inhabited.
Inhabited. Okay. But at this point, all that was inhabited, it was the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the animals, correct? When you... parents, speaking of parents now, when you have a child, what do you do before the child comes?
Prepare.
What do you mean by prepare? What do you do to prepare? Maybe you take parenting classes.
Clothing.
Yeah, some parents go in and paint the whole room, right? They'll redo a whole room. This is the child's room. This is going to be their room, and we set it up that way. Why do they do all that? Anticipating the arrival. And I want you to think about that in the sense that this is what God was doing. Because God is a master designer. He comes in and He set everything into motion and He spoke it. And then He gets to this point. Someone read Genesis 1:26.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
So, I want you to focus in on something. What did they say? Let us make man or in our what? Or humans. In our image. Who's God talking about?
The Trinity.
The Trinity. We talked about that a little bit. So how do you and I represent that, using that word Trinity? When you think of an image, what do you think of?
Picture.
Okay, and what other thoughts?
Likeness.
Mm-hmm. So, where's Seth at? Seth, could you come up here for a minute? I'm picking on Seth here. He doesn't know he's going to do this. What else does it tell you about in that verse? What does it tell you about who God said? So, this is Seth. He's my son. Stand beside us. Do we look the same?
No.
Do we really look the same?
You have resemblances.
We have resemblances.
But you don't look the same.
He's better looking.
We don't look the same, right?
He's better looking.
He might be better looking. I would agree with that. Okay, thanks. So as you said, does that create an image? When God said, "Let's create man in our own image," What is he really saying there?
We didn't have anything to do with it. He says our own image. The image of Christ is in what Christ did.
Okay, well, we don't know about him yet.
What is?
We only know him as a son. As there's a son, and there's a father, and then there's this thing called the Holy Spirit, which we don't know about that yet. But I understand where you're going with that. Okay, listen to some of these things here. When God said, let's create man in our own image, look at the verse. Then God said, let's make man in our own image to be like us. They're going to do what? What did he give them? What's that?
They're going to rule over.
And what are they going to rule over? Fish of the sea, birds of the air, all the cattle, all the wild animals on the earth, anything that's there, small and great. God communicated something there. He spoke again, and he said, let's make man in our image. Why do you think God wanted to make man? Okay, you want a relationship, fellowship?
Share kind of what he had.
Kind of share what he had, okay.
In a way.
All right. Let's, when you think about man, I don't want to lead you down a path here that's, I don't want to mislead you here with my questioning. I want you to think about when God said, let's make man our image, and you look at your life now as a person here on this earth, what are some of the characteristics that you and I have that tells you about an all-powerful God and how he is and how he wants to talk to us, how he wants to communicate? What does it tell you about God? So think about your life.
He has emotions.
Huh?
He has emotions.
He has emotions, yes. God planned to give man emotions. So if God, we're creating God's image, is it wrong to cry?
No, it's good.
Is it wrong to get excited and jump up and down? No. Why do you think God wanted man to have emotion?
That is a form of who he is.
Form of who he is?
Giving it to us, we can connect with him.
Connect with him, okay.
And others.
And I would agree with that. How about connecting with God on an emotional level?
Yeah.
When you think about emotions, there's a lot of emotions. We can use a whole list. You could put a whole list up here on the wall of emotions. What else did God want man to experience?
So, Matt, one of the things that I want to make sure, I'm not sure that I heard it, and I think you were saying it, but when we think of image, we often think of physical body. But how do we know that we are not created physically in God's image?
So you're asking, how do we know that we're not created physically in God's image?
Or how do we know that we could?
Okay. Anybody want to answer that one?
He's
everywhere.
Right, so maybe that's why we're not in his physical image.
Okay. Yeah, we can't be everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's the answer. You nailed it.
Yep.
Go to the head of the class. The reality is that God is spirit, mm-hmm. and so he is not contained to a body. So when we say image, if we immediately think of a physical body, we're missing. missing how we are like created like God.
Mm-hmm.
In God's image.
Yes. He doesn't have one.
And that simple phrase that I just said, that we are created like God, that one actually has a lot of weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
You let that
think
about
it.
That one a little bit.
Yeah, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but what did God mean when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father?
You're talking about Jesus, what Jesus said?
Yeah, I said I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
You're jumping ahead more than a little bit.
Get your timeline out, you'll see how many years you got it. Yes. Can you table that one? Write that question down.
Okay.
And when we get to that section, I think you'll see that answer be answered when you go through it. And you might even get the answer tonight. I don't know. As you go through this, as you think about it. Remember I used the word meditate on the stuff that you think about. So during the week, you want to be like a cow, eat things over and over, and they regurgitate. I'm being a little graphic there with my mental picture. But when you have these questions, as you think about them over and over and over again, it's amazing what God reveals to you through that.
Matt, isn't it true that we also have a spirit,
mm-hmm,
within us?
Yes. So,
and so that's our image of God, you know,
mm-hmm,
that we have a spirit that lives forever.
Yes. Yep. And I'm going to, when we get to here where God creates Adam, and we get to that verse, I will post it on the Facebook page, and if you're not on Facebook and you want it, I was going to do a video clip here, and we'll show you. The reason I'm not doing it tonight is because it is graphic. It's 30 seconds long. There is blood involved, but it is a beautiful picture of what Paul is talking about here. When we are created, we have each of us have a spirit. And so when you think about this, He gave us a mind. He gave us, man, emotions, and he's given us a will, okay? And that was his plan, all right? And so you see that in God's creation, that he had a plan, where God made choices. He chose to separate the light from the darkness when he created the light, and he called that night and day. You can begin to see that. And so as man, as us, physical beings here on this earth, we have choices to make. Okay? That is the same thing about God. Let me ask you, if you were to think about some things you do during the day where you have a choice to make, but what you're doing has no choice in the matter. So let me read you a couple things here. When you get dressed in the morning, do your clothes have any choice in the matter what they're going to be put on?
No.
How about when you go to your refrigerator and decide what you have for breakfast? Does the food have any choice in the matter? Does your car determine the route you go? Okay.
Huh?
A smart car? A smart car, Mike.
A
Google car, Mike.
Not yet. I was
going
to say, not yet.
Not yet. I could just see a movie coming out about that, you know. The car goes crazy and nuts and starts doing whatever. When you think about that, we can't comprehend. It's inconceivable to think that the food's going to determine what we eat. The clothes are going to say, you're not going to wear me today. You know, there's nothing like that. They have no ability to be a part of decisions you and I make. There's just no way. They're simply controlled by you. In the same sense that God, when he created everything, had no choice. God spoke it and said, there's light, and there's light. And that's the way it was. God could have decided to make us without these things. He could have made us a supreme robot that said, hey, I'm going to say, Matt, today, when you created, when I was born, your whole job is to do this. And I would have been a robot. And that's how I would have lived my whole life. But he didn't do that. He didn't make man that way. So thinking about this, God's looking about that plan and how God created man. Let's read that verse again, Genesis 1:26, and let's see what it says. Someone read it again.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
What does God want us to do? God said that he's going to make man. What does he want the man to do?
Oversee.
He wants him to be a manager, a good steward, or he wants him to be something. He wants him to take care of what he just created for him. So, if you look at our world today, how's that going? Not wrong. There are things we do well, then there's things we don't do well. But that's what God wanted him to do. He was God's representative over the whole earth. At that point, the entire earth that God had created, when he creates this man, Adam, he was his representative. That's what his job was to do, was to maintain, to have that. When you think of the word reign or have dominion over or something like that, I use this all the time with my kids when they get afraid of an animal. As afraid of an animal, you don't have to be afraid of them, because you have dominion over them. God, you said it in their creation, you reign over them. I'm not saying if a bear chases you that you shouldn't run the other direction. But you don't, you reign over it. You have the authority over that. That's why you can train a dog to fetch. You can train a dog or train an animal. You can, if you watch SeaWorld, they can train now.
Animals have a mind, will, and emotion too.
Yeah, well, we got that. Or is that coming up?
I don't know.
Okay, that's true. How many of you believe that? They do. Dogs show emotion. You come out of the door, they come running up to you. Wagging their tail, they got emotion. They have emotion. They also have emotion.
So does that mean they're created in God's image?
They don't have a spirit.
Do animals have a spirit? I knew that question was going to come up. Man, I don't like to go down that path.
Well, that's possibly an answer, but that doesn't totally answer the question. Because
why won't animals? Go ahead.
I guess what I'm asking is, if animals have a mind, will, and emotion, and humans have a mind, will, and emotion, why? And if we're created in God's image, but an animal is not, according to Genesis, what's the difference? Exhaust maker, chill.
Any thoughts? Why? What's the difference?
What man is to reign over?
Okay.
Over that head.
Yes. Yeah. God didn't give the direction to the animal to reign over something. He gave it to man. I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, Lynn.
He also created man in his image, and animals were just created to roam, to fill his earth.
To fill his earth, okay. He didn't say that about the animals, though, did he? That they were created in his image. So that doesn't
understand, but what we are saying, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. What we are saying is that he is in, we are created in God's image, and we are saying the image is mind, will, and emotions.
Part of it. I wouldn't say it's the whole thing, but yeah.
Okay. But animals have that too.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the distinguishing factor? Huh?
But they weren't created in his image.
That's exactly. So what defines image? It's because we have one creation that has mind, will, and emotions that's not created in God's image. We have another creation that has mind, will, and emotions that is created in his image. What's the difference?
I think we can have a relationship with God.
You can have a relationship? You're saying you can serve him?
We also have free will to choose what we want to do. I don't think Adam is that bad. I mean, Adam was made to do a certain thing, and that's what they do. They fall in path. Man can choose to.
Okay. You're going right down the same path.
And I think what I'm driving at is that we need to understand the difference, the depth of this word will that God created us with. it's a different will than an animal. It's we have free will. We are given a distinct choice about what we do. And the word rational, we can rationalize things. We can think things out. We can be creative. Our emotions are on a total different level than what a dog's and animal's emotions are. And then the fact that we are a spiritual being as well. We have a spirit. Which, I don't know if that answers the dog question or not, or animal question. Do animals have a spirit?
Well, what's the difference between spirit and your soul?
Spirit and your soul. Okay. Can we come back to that one just in a minute? I want to read, because what Lynn's talking about here, there's a reason. I want to go to what God says here, and then we're going to skip a little bit here and go to how God creates man. And I think that might help you answer your question, John, when it comes to the soul and spirit, okay? And it will go back to, you're going to make a comment that everybody has a spirit. Over here. I can't remember who made the comment. Is it that? Something about that. It's God's spirit, though. You said something like that. So can someone get Genesis 2:7 and someone read Genesis 1:27? Read the 1:27 first.
So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay. So on day six, God created man and woman. Okay? And we're going to skip over here to Genesis chapter 2. And the reason I say this, and the video that I will post on there, I want you to picture in your mind how God creates man. Okay? So someone read Genesis 2, verse 7.
Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
Okay. I want you to picture this. I was going to bring some dirt here tonight and ask somebody to please create man. And then I got to looking at that verse a little bit more, and you can play two ways to think. What does it say he formed man out of?
Dust.
The dust. Does anybody see any dust from this light here? Okay, you can see dust floating around, particles in the air when you get up to the light. Whether God, I've seen pictures of people playing on a play where they have this dirt form on the ground and they have someone going across it, and you got this picture of God taking either the dirt of the ground, the actual dirt, mounding it up, forming man, or you have him forming a man out of dust that's coming up from the ground. And I want you to picture that. Because here in this verse, the description of God making man, you don't hear God saying, "Let there be a man."
Right.
You don't hear him saying, "Okay, rise up out of the dirt." You see God taking his time. You and I are what we are called in his creation, his finest. He took time to form man. And the first class I ever sat in, I remember Lynn using the word magnum opus. Am I saying that right? Does anybody know what that means? I think it's Latin. And it's for finest work or finest creation. So you got this picture. God forms man. And then he does something that he didn't do with the animals. And I think this might answer your question. What does he do? So picture this, that God's got this formation of a lifeless body. And he just breeze. The video that I'll post on Facebook that I was going to show here tonight is a picture of a baby in an embryonic sac. Okay, it's a very rare thing. And the doctors, and you can see this baby moving in this sac. And he cuts the sac open. And the moment he cuts the sac open, the baby begins to cry. And at that moment is when God breathed into that baby his spirit, his breath. That's the very moment. Doctors will say at 16 weeks, you know, they can tell you at 16 weeks that that's when the baby's heart starts to beat. They can never tell you when it starts in or out, on the in beat or the out beat. They can't tell you that. But here's when God said to Adam, which we don't know his name yet, but says Adam breathes into him. I just think that is the coolest picture of a God who's planned everything out all the way up to this point, and he gets man and he creates him. And then he just breathes into him. What do you think of that? What does that tell you about God? What does that tell you about? He's awesome. He's powerful.
He gives life.
Ah, he gives life. Yes. He is the giver of life. So whenever you see an animal, you see an animal born, you see a baby born, you see people walking around, it is the very Spirit of God that breathed that life into them. Go and plug in the electrical socket there. You're not getting any juice unless there's a switch turned on, right? That's maybe a cheap illustration of what happens when God breathes into a person. But unless God gave him or her life, you and I are his finest. He took his time. He didn't just speak us into existence. He decided, I'm going to take some time here and create a man, just like me. So, John, does that answer your question about mind, will, emotion, or body and spirit? You're shaking your head yes, but how does that answer your question?
Yeah, I had wanted to know the difference between
the two.
The two.
Okay. All right.
I think what stands out to me when I hear this is, again, is the reality that man is dependent. Our life stems from God. And so we were just talked about that we were created with a mind, will, and emotion. But yet our very life is dependent on God. So we have God giving his creation life, but giving them a mind, will, and emotion just like he has. And that's just a significant picture that we need to grab hold of, because it will come to play as we progress through it, that God gave us life. It came from God.
How does it make you feel?
Special.
Special. Can you think of anything in realm today, and our earth, where we're living, how we're living now, that compares to that special, that word special? I can't, because that says how powerful God is, how much he desired to make man. When you see this here, he said, let's make man our image, and he created them male and female. At this point, you don't have the picture of God, how God created the woman yet. All you have is the man. And in verse 28 it says, and then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it or reign over it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the animals. And again, he said that whole thing. What does that tell you about you and I today? Where do we come from?
God.
Huh?
God.
We come from God. Yeah, but we all trace back to this man that God created. Yeah. We all trace back to it. And I think that was one of the questions we were, after some of the classes here, we were meeting here, it was one of the questions, where's all mankind come from? You know, how do we get Spanish, African, where do all these different races come from in our society? And all comes back to Adam. Now, get a little further on down, you'll see some of that, but ultimately, we all trace back to Adam. I don't know his name yet, I'm saying Adam, but we'll know, we'll get to that. Yeah, I called him that. But, so he made one man, one woman, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply the earth. Someone read verses 29 through 30.
God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so.
Can picture this. I picture God taking this man and this woman up to the top of a hill or the mountain, and he says, look. And he, in this translation I read here, it says, look, with a big exclamation point after. It's like, look! Look at everything I've created for you. You've got all this. It's all yours. Yours to govern and rule over, to maintain, to reign over it, to take care of, and you can eat all these plants, all the fruit. And he stands back and he says, can you imagine what this man and woman were thinking? Imagine someone coming to you and saying, hey, I'm going to hand over to you all my wealth, all my prosperity, everything that I have, I'm handing it to you. Here it is. Here's yours. You go take it and you learn and be responsible with it and manage it. And if someone did that to you, how would that make you feel?
I don't know, but they probably didn't feel anything like that because they weren't born and grew up and seen this. They were just there, and it was there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. To me, you could have the overwhelmed feeling if you look at it from that aspect of it. But let's say it's a dad. So I brought Seth up here. So I have had a chicken house, and so if I was raising chickens still, and Seth got to old enough, and I said, Seth, this is now yours. This is your house, chicken house. I'm going to help you, but it's your responsibility now. It's all yours. Everything that happens to it, it's yours. And I would help him. But it says now the man. And that's what God, in essence, did with this man and the woman. He said, it's yours. You manage it. Take care of it. At that point, it was beautiful. Everything was perfect. It was gorgeous. He gave him authority. Think along the lines of mind, will, and emotions. What could have possibly been going through their minds, and why did he do that? Why did God have the authority to just give them that position? Why did he do that? Why are you thinking of that? Go back to lesson two.
So they can enjoy
it. So they can enjoy it? But what gave God the right to do that?
He created it all.
He created it all, right. He had created it all, so because he's the one who gave it new. Listen to what Psalms 24:1 says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas, and he built it on the ocean depths. And you keep right on going and going and going with that verse. But that describes a supremacy or a sovereignty, someone who is over all. So it's his to give away. Let's go back to Genesis 31. What did he say after he had just told him all this? You have to let your imagination roar or run when you think about what might have happened. We don't see here, but what does God say in 31?
God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came and then morning, the sixth day.
So we have the end of the sixth day, and God standing. It's hard to picture this thing, but I like to picture what God might have actually been doing then. I'm not going to put this in there. It just says that he was very good. But I picture God sitting back, kind of like smiling, accomplishment. When you do something, you build something here, if you can't create, but you build something, you make something, and you're all done making that, and you look back and you say, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm using today's language, pretty cool. I don't know if God uses it. He says very good. What that means in God's language. But I just picture that God standing back and saying, this is cool. Look what we've done. It is very, very good. Everything, and he could say that because everything was perfect. No blemish. Nothing. We can't imagine a world without thistles, without thorns. We can't imagine that. That's what it was like. There was nothing. Who else witnessed this?
Lucifer.
Right. And we learned that in lesson three, that Lucifer, the angels, they all witnessed that. What does that tell you? What goes through your mind while I go to get another verse here? What goes through your mind when you think of that? It's incredible. Everything is.
How special we are compared to the angels.
How special we are compared to the angels. Yes. They're not like us. Angels are what? Spirit beings, right? Yeah. So the question that Kevin asked, are they the same like us? Do they have free will? I think that was the question. We're not going to answer that tonight, but remember that question, because we talked about we're going to get to that in lesson 8. Actually, I'm not going to read this. I'll give it to you if you want to read it later on. Job 38. Read Job 38 if you want to read it later on. I'm not going to read that. The reminder, the lesson here, the reminder and the lesson that we have here is that God created his finest creation, Adam and Eve, as their names are. And he did that, took his time. On us. That's a beautiful picture. And then he breathed into man his own spirit, his own breath. The angels, as you know, we learned that in lesson three, the angels were up there cheering God on, like his cheering section. Something that
So did he create all that stuff for man, or did he create man to take care of all that stuff?
Did he create all that stuff for man, or did he create man to take care of all that stuff?
All the fish.
Okay. Well,
that's a really significant question.
Yep, it is.
It's a very significant question.
Does anybody have thoughts on that? You heard the question? Did God create man to take care of all that stuff, or did he create all the stuff for man?
Some of both.
Okay.
I think you need to make them answer why they're giving the answer they're giving.
Well, you have to take care of one for it to take care of you. To receive you, it's like a balance.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Did God need the earth?
No, because God didn't need anything.
No, he did.
So why create man?
What do you think? What's your answer, Ashley?
He didn't have to. Everything was perfect. So...
He didn't
need
it.
Why did he have to create it?
Remember, I'm not going to give you give answers to every question that comes out either. And the reason I don't want to do that is because there is an essence that we've got this. And sometimes if I give an answer, you would then say, well, that's what Matt says. And that may not always be right. The reason I say that is because if you read back what we just read over in 26, 27, God said he wanted to make man. He said, let us make man in our image. God wanted to make us. It's not something he had to do. Okay? So to answer your question, or how I would see that, he did not need man to take care of the earth. He gave us the responsibility to take care of the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. But he wanted to make man. I don't know if that answers your question either, why did he create us? But he wanted to. It's not something he needed.
I think a very good comparison, actually, would be, why do you have children? I didn't ask how you had children. I said, why do you have children? I'm sorry. Ashley Cooper.
Yeah.
Why do you have, because parents want to have children, for the most of the time. Accidents do happen. But... it's this, that picture of God wanting to create something, I use my imagination a little bit, but, 5 days God created the earth. I could use my imagination and say that God got to the end of the earth and he looked over everything, looked over the animals, looked over this incredibly perfect world floating out there in space with all the stars and everything, and God's looking down at that and saying, that is amazing. And then he says, there's something I can do better. And then he looks at the Son and the Spirit, and says, let's make a creation in our image.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the reason I think, Paul, I think your question is so significant is, you know, was man created for creation or creation created for man? Is the word is purpose. Is in order for man to be in the image of God, there had to be a purpose. Man had to have a purpose in life. And creation, the role, the work that he gave, he gave us meaning and purpose to life. Not just to exist and do what we were pre-programmed to do, but to have meaning, purpose, reason.
Yeah, I don't know if your lesson books give you, are they giving you any scripture to look up in this section? I know there is, but is there any in the New Testament in there? I'm not to that yet. But I'm thinking of a verse that says that, for by him all things were created, for him. They weren't just created, we were created for him. And one of those verses should be in there, probably. I didn't look up, I should have grabbed my book at home and looked. But by him all things were created and for him. And I would challenge Lynn on one thing where he said that some children by accident. I know I'm picking on his words there.
In the minds of the parents, it's accident.
In the eyes of the parents, it's accident. But in God's mind,
it's purpose.
It's his purpose. In
God's I was talking about the parents.
I know you were. I know. But I wanted to.
Let's take this out back.
I didn't want someone to be sitting here thinking, well, I might be an accident.
I was.
You say that, but not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, Lynn was prepared before the foundation of the world. And when he was born, his spirit breathed into him life. I didn't come prepared with the verse, but there is a verse where that when, because God is the life giver, also all life goes back to him. It's in Ecclesiastes, I believe. I'll get it for you. I'll post it on Facebook. But there's a verse that when a man or a woman dies, their spirit, because God's spirit was breathed into them, returns to him. And it goes back to what John was asking about the soul and spirit. And as you go through this, you'll see that. But because God gave life to somebody, he gets it back. He gets the spirit that he breathed into. And God says that. And so that's I was just clicking on him there a little bit. He understands that. But you see how awesome God is and how sovereign. And don't forget that word, magnum opus. You and I are his finest. He's perfect. And there's a song I love to sing. It's a little hard on the music, but it's called Virtuoso. And so if you see what a virtuoso is, right? Anybody know what that is? Okay, someone want to explain it that knows? You can do a better job. It's somebody who creates because we keep using the word creates, but performs something beautiful. And it's magnificent. And we say, wow, what a virtuoso of performance. You and I are his magnum opus, finest work. Yeah.
Where was Satan?
Where was Satan all this?
Where and what was he doing?
What was he doing? At this point, he was up there cheering on God, I believe. That's what the Bible says, that the angels were sitting there worshiping God during this time.
Because, to me, in my mind, I almost think since he already knew that he wanted what God had, would he then prepare it?
That's lesson 8. But he was watching this. You got to understand, all these angels were watching this, yes. So picture yourself as one of the angels, and here, I'm not God, but here God creates, and he breathes in, and they're watching. Wow. What was going through their thoughts? Very good. I mean, this is where you get to, when you get into lesson 8 and you see this different story that takes place. That's a very interesting thing because they're watching this magnificent thing. You were going to say something, Lynn?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't know if he's going to say your word.
Sometimes I'm not sure if he's going to say something or if he's just if you just give me this look, it's like, hey, I want to say something.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going back to what you said. You know, he gives us our, spirit into us, and then when we die, he takes that back.
Mm-hmm.
Will that same spirit be breathed into somebody else?
Will that same spirit be breathed into someone else? So you're asking a question about reincarnation, pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
Does that take place? What is anybody else's thoughts on that?
No.
Why not?
Because I personally feel like he gives that which makes us unique as who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if he would do that with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
why would that be special?
Okay.
It would.
At this point, we don't have death on the earth in this lesson. Okay. And so, with that question, can you hold on to that and answer? And hopefully, we'll cover some of that, or maybe you'll get the answer in lesson 8. And I keep saying that because at this point on the earth, we have no death. And so, when I say that when life goes back to God, there is a. We don't know about that yet. We haven't experienced.
You muddied the water. Just admit it. You weren't supposed to talk about it.
Yes. I was supposed to only tell you about life. That's one of those things where I go off on the rabbit trail and keep trying to. But that is that's a very good question. It's a very question that a lot of people ask. Because there's a lot of teaching, there's a lot of thoughts out there on that, and is that something that God would do? We've got to come back to that God is sovereign, that He is over all, and that He is all powerful. Any other thoughts? Any other questions? And the reason I ask you guys to write down those questions is so that when you go back through and review them, I don't want to just not answer a question. I want you guys to be able to come back and say, hey, I never got the answer to that. Can you help me think through that? Because we all have questions. And if we don't answer those questions, you go through questions. And you keep on going with questions. And sometimes but you have to come back to the sovereignty of God and that we... Up to this point, all we know is that God, that the God we're talking about, has spoke everything in existence. He spent time on creating man. And so you're going to have lots of questions. Believe me, the questions get a lot harder than that as you go through. There'll be questions when we get into later on in Genesis and further on that, you know, you'll be like, how can God allow bad things to happen then? We're not there yet, but there's things like that. You're going to have questions like that that'll come out. So I encourage you, if you have a question, write it down. Put it on the Facebook page because we can always go back and you can always go back and remember, hey, I didn't answer that question or you didn't hear the answer to that. Any other questions? I'm going to shut that off, though, because we're...